We are holding on Samach Amud Aleph, seventh line. We learned yesterday about the case where you have a ladder or stairs going up and down to an entrance or to the top of a wall that connect that separates two chatzeres. So we said that actually what we do is we consider that to be like a mechitza or like a mechitza or like a pesach, whichever one results in a kula in a particular scenario. So we had an example where it serves as a mechitza. In that we said if you have a city where one end of it there's a normal entrance and exit, there's a city gate that you walk out of it on flat ground, and the other one, the entrance and exit, is one where you use a ladder or stairs to get up and down because it's above ground level, let's say. So then we said that end is considered a mechitza rather than a pesach for purposes of the halacha, that then it's considered as if the city only has one opening, and therefore you're able to make an eruv of the whole city together without having to leave any part out of it, without having to leave what we called yesterday and we're going to call in today's Gemara a shiur, meaning something left over. Let's, by the way, make sure, you have shiur, with an ayin in the middle, like what we're having now, that comes from a shirdish, which means a section, because a shir, as in what we're having now, is you define a certain section, a certain time of day, or a certain amount of time when we're going to be learning. As opposed to what we're dealing here with in the Gemara is shiur without the ayin, shin yud vav resh, which comes from the shortish sha'ar, which means left over, because you have to leave over some part of the city outside the Erev, as we're going to discuss soon. So we said then that a ladder or stairs counts as a mechitza for that purpose. On the other hand, it counts as a pesach for the purpose that we said that if you have two chatzeres that are separated by a wall, where normally then they would have to make two separate eruvin, and there would be no way to carry from one to the other unless they make an opening in the wall. But if there's a ladder or stairs on one side and on the other where they go up and down that way, then that can be considered a doorway for that purpose, and then they're able to make a joint eruv between them and be able to carry between them. Once they make that eruv, by the way, then they're allowed to carry between them in any way. They're allowed to carry between them by going up and down the stairs over the wall, or also by passing things through smaller holes in the wall that might be lower down, or by throwing things over the wall, etc. So the Gemara says, so another thing in this connection, Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, here's another place where we see that ladders count as a pesach or mechitza, whichever one results in a kula. If you have a wall that you put one ladder next to another for a length, in other words, so you have, there's a ladder, and next to it is another ladder, and next to it is another ladder, etc. Even if the total width of all of those ladders together is more than 10 amos, and we've learned earlier in our Masechta that if you have a breach in a wall more than 10 amos, then it's no good, then it's not considered, what we said is it's not considered a pesach, then it's not considered an opening anymore, then it's considered a breach. We're going to learn in more detail in the seventh parak about what the situations are with chatzeres. Sometimes you have where you have two adjacent chatzeres where they have an opening, they have a door between them. They can make a joint eruv if they want, but they're not obligated to. If they want, they can make separate eruvin and each one be able to carry in their chatzer. Sometimes you have, but on the other hand, they could make a joint one if they want. Sometimes you have a case where they're not able to make a joint eruv. For example, let's say in our case where they have a wall between the previous case where they had a wall between them. Let's say they didn't have ladders over there. Let's say there was just a solid wall between them, more than 10 tefachim tall, with no openings in it, or no openings that are large enough to be considered a door or window in halacha. Windows you can also use for that purpose. But let's say all you have is there's a solid wall and there's just small holes in it, then there's no way to make an eruv between those two chatzeres. Then they have to each make their own separate eruv, meaning that they can't transfer things from one to the other, even, let's say, through the small holes. And then you have the other way around. Then you have cases where two chatzeres are open to each other where they have to make a joint eruv, for example, if they have a breach more than 10 amos between them, where then they have to make a joint Eruv, and if not, then it's considered, in effect, one big chatzer, where they didn't make an Eruv, and nobody can carry over there. So now we're talking about, you have two chatzeres that are separated by a wall, but the twist is that you have, they put ladders, one next to the other, next to the wall, but they made it, they put so many ladders that now you have, or so many stairs that now you have 10 amos wide. Now, if we considered that, if we considered those a Pesach, then we would say now we have a Pesach 10 amos, more than 10 amos wide, and that wouldn't be considered a Pesach, that would be considered a Pirzah, and now we would say those two chaseras have to make a joint Eruv. But no, he says, Afilu b'yosimeh, so even if the ladders are more than 10 amos together, Tardas mechitza olav, it still counts as a mechitza. And therefore, if they want, they could still make separate Eruvim. So they can do whichever they want. They can use the ladders and be able to make a joint Eruv and then be able to transfer things from one to the other. But if they want, they can also make separate Eruvin and not be able to, and just be able to each individually carry in their own chatzer. So the Gemara says, Romi Leir Brunner Rabbi Yehuda b'matzar to debate of Chanina. Rabbi Brunner pointed out to Rabbi Yehuda a contradiction. They were standing in the wine press of Rabbi Chanina. We had this before, where it shows that even they're in the middle of pressing the grapes or whatever business they had over there in the wine press, they're still fatifed in Torah. They're still discussing Torah. So Rabbi Brunner asked, "Mi Omar Shmuel Torahs Mechitza Olav? Did Shmuel in fact say that the ladders like that count as a mechitza?" Even though there's more than 10 amas together, va'amar of Nachman amar Shmuel, don't we have the din we learned yesterday that Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel, anshin mipeses va'anshe chotzer sheshachu v'la'eru, you have the people who live in houses that open directly into the chotzer, and then you have the people whose houses or apartments open into the mipeses. We said yesterday, mipeses is like an outdoor gallery. Where their house is open to that, and then they have to come downstairs in order to go through the chatzar. So we said if they forgot and did not make a joint Eruv together, im yesh lefaneh daka arba, if the people of the Merpeses have in front of their stairs, if they have a daka of four, and we discussed yesterday what a daka is, it means a small doorway, or it means like a bench, or something like that, which show whatever, does the four mean four tvachim high? Does it mean four tvachim or four amos wide, etc.? So if it has in front of that, or something like that, eino isteres, then it doesn't aser them. Then the fact that the people of the merpeses walk through the chotzer doesn't aser the people of the chotzer from carrying there. Vim lava isteres, and if not, then it does aser. Now, the merpeses is usually more than 10 tvachim off the ground of the chotzer. So here you have a case where you have they have a ladder, and we're still saying that the mechitza is not considered a mechitza. We're still saying that it's considered a doorway, and therefore you have the equivalent of two chatzeres where one is open to the other. And we're saying that the only way to make it mutter would be if you have the staka in place. So what are you telling me that ladders make it a mechitza or a pesach, whichever results in a kula? If you were to say it that way over here, then you would say that you still have a mechitza, and therefore it would not answer. The answer is Hachab Ma'askin and Lagavoyim Merpeses Asara. Like we answered yesterday at the top of the Amud, the case is that the Merpeses itself is not 10 Tvachim off the ground. So the question then, you don't have a Machitza anyway. So the question is, Lagavoyim Merpeses Asara, so if the Merpeses is not 10 Tvachim off the ground, all the Daka my Habi, so how does it help to make a Daka anyway? The fact is you don't have a Machitza over there. The answer is, like we said yesterday, the scenario is that the merpeses is mostly closed off, but you have an opening in it to the chotzer more than 10 amos wide. So the fact that you have that opening more than 10 amos wide would have created a problem. Does create a problem, but given to Ovid Daka, but once they make a Daka in front of their stairway, then by that they're showing that they want to be considered a separate area. They're not, in fact, according to the Ritva, it works out best, because according to the Ritva, a daka is a separate side entrance which doesn't require them to go through the chotzer at all. But whatever the case, even if we take one of the other explanations, Rashi's explanation that we have in front of us in the Gemara, that it means a small doorway, or Tosfos's and the Rambam's, that it means a bench at least four tefachim tall, like a low mechitza kind of. The point is, by doing that, they're demonstrating that they don't want to be considered part of the chatzar anymore, even though they have this breach between them, and therefore they don't aser. So that doesn't contradict the din about ladders being considered a mechitza or pesach, whichever one results in a chola. Okay. Getting back now to the case of, again, in our Mishnah we talked about, we have two cases. We have sometimes where we're able to make an eruv for the entire city together. That was, we said, if it was an irsho yachid, if it was a city of yachid, even if afterwards it became a city of rabbim. And we said, according to Rashi, a city of yachid means that it had less than 600,000 in it. And shel rabbim means that the city grew and now you have more than 600,000. According to Tosfos and everybody else, it means that the city used to actually belong to a yachid. It used to be one person's private property. And now it belongs to the rabbim. Let's say he sold it to the rabbim. And so then we said you can make an eruv of the whole city. On the other hand, we said if it was a city shel rabbim, according to either of these definitions, then when you make the eruv for it, you have to leave over a shiur, you have to leave some part of the city outside of the eruv, because since it's a city of rabbim and 600,000 people go through it, even if it doesn't have an actual reshus rabbim in it, so as we discussed yesterday, if it has an actual reshus rabbim, then you need more steps to take, because you need doors on the side of the Rishos Rabbim or whatever, but let's say the city doesn't have any streets that are 16 amas wide. Nevertheless, because the city has 600,000 people in it, according to Rashi, or because it belongs to the Rabbim, because it's always belonged to the Rabbim, according to Tosfos, we're afraid that people are going to forget. If you make an Eruv of the entire city, every single house in the city, then we're afraid that people are going to forget about the whole concept of carrying on Shabbos, and therefore we have to leave some houses of this outside of the Eruv. They can make their own Eruv between themselves, but the Eruv for the rest of the city has to be exclusive of those. So the Gemara tells a story in that connection. Hanu bnei Kakunoi, there were these people of Kakunoi, which is the name of a place, the also lekameid Rabbi Yosef. They came to Rabbi Yosef, Umrulay, and they said to him, Havlon gavra de le'erevlon musin. Please give us somebody, give us one of your talmidim to make an eruv for our city. We want to be able to carry in our city, so please send us one of your talmidim to arrange the eruv for us. So Rabbi Yosef says to Abaye, go make the eruv for them. Make sure that you don't do it in a way that they're going to later on complain in the Beis Medrash. Meaning, you know, we always know it's very easy to be machmir, so you might end up being machmir in something or other of this, and later on the people are going to complain you did a chumrah which was unnecessary, and you caused them to make changes to their houses or whatever which wouldn't have been necessary al pi halacha. So make sure, he says to Abaye, make sure that you don't do that. Make sure that you do it in a way that make sure you consider every possible angle on it and see what you actually have to require them to do versus not. Okay. Also, Abaye went to the city. He found that there were some houses over there that faced the river. In other words, most of the houses were the normal arrangement. You have houses opening into Chatzeres, which in turn open into Mavoyas, which in turn open into Rishos Rabim. But you had a group of houses at one side of the city where the doors of the houses opened out to the river. They didn't have any, these houses didn't have any back doors to the city, to the rest of the city. Omar, so he thought to himself, Hani Levi Shiul Masa. Okay, good, so we'll leave these ones out of the Eruv. They don't have, right now they don't have a way of carrying, to the other houses anyway, because they don't have any doors that face the rest of the city. These houses face only the river. So therefore, good, these can be the Shiul, and I'll make an Eruv for the rest of the city. Hader Omar, then Abaye started thinking to himself, wait a minute, we said in the Mishnah, Ein Ma'arvin Eskulotnan, our Mishnah said that if it's a city, Shel Rabim, Rashi explains, by the way, that this was a city, Shel Rabim, that became a city, Shel Yochid. Tosfos points out, it doesn't have to be that it became a city, Shel Yochid. The same story would also work if it was still a city of Rabim now. The point is that at the beginning, when it was first settled, it was a city, Shel Rabim. Anyway, so again, so Abaye first thinks that these houses that face in the other direction will be good for the Shiur. Then he thinks, wait, Ein Ma'avinus Kolotnan. The Mishnah said you can't make an Eruv of the whole city, Miklal. So the implication seems to be that the city, that the houses you leave out have to be ones, the Iboy Le'eruvim Motzim Ma'avi. It seems that they have to be houses that if you wanted, you could have included in the Eruv, and therefore by not including them in the Eruv, you're making a Hecker. These houses couldn't have been included in the Eruv in the first place. I didn't even realize you joined Delhi High. I didn't even realize that, that these cities, that these houses that are facing away couldn't have been included in the Eruv in the first place. So therefore, so they wouldn't work as a Shiur necessarily. Ella, Sabaya thinks to himself, okay, let's fix up the situation. Evid lohu kavi, let me have them make windows. Let me make windows for them. In other words, let me tell them that they have to, in their walls that face towards the city, they have to open up windows in those walls. So they have to do a little construction and open up windows, at least 4x4 tfachim, and within 10 tfachim of the ground. We're going to learn about this concept in the 7th perek, that if you have windows that meet these criteria, then you're able to make, that between one house and another, or between one chotzer and another, then you're able to make an eruv using those windows as what connects the two places. And again, then the idea is you're allowed to then transfer things back and forth through those windows, and you'd also then be able to transfer things back and forth over the wall or through any smaller holes in the wall or whatever. So Abaya thinks to himself, let me have these people who live in these houses make windows in their wall facing the city. Then that way they could have conceivably, then these houses are the kind that conceivably could have been joined in the Eruv through these windows. And then we're going to say, but we're not going to. We're going to leave them out because we need a shiur, because this is an irshol rabim. And therefore, that'll take care of the situation. Hoder Omar, then Abaya thinks to himself further, loy boy, I shouldn't need that. Because after all, we find that Rabba Bar Avuha used to make an Eruv for the entire city of Mechuzah, but he didn't make an Eruv for the entire city together. He made an Eruv neighborhood by neighborhood. Because you have between one neighborhood, between one street and the next, there were these pits in the ground that were used for animal food. They would put over their date pits and use them for food for their oxen. You can see the picture in Rashi over here shows. So you have one set of mavoyas, and then between it and the next one, you have this pair of the Torah, and so forth between each one. I mean, the diagram is just showing the pair of the Torah as if it was just in the middle, and you have the sides you can walk through. Really, it should be drawn that you have the pair of the Torah extending across the entire street, so that you have you have this deep thing going between one street and the next. So therefore, there's no way really to cross over from one street to the next. So each neighborhood therefore kind of forms a unit of its own, and therefore Rabba Bar Avuha would make an Eruv for each neighborhood separately. Because of that, the Kol Chad B'Chad Habashiur B'Chavrei. Now how did that work? Mechuzah is an Irshol Rabim, so the way it worked was that it was an Irshol Rabim, but each neighborhood, each of these ones, so the neighborhood at the top of the page before the first period of the Torah is left out of the Eruv for the second part, so it's the Shiur for it. You have, even though it's an Irshol Rabim, each part has its separate Eruv, and therefore, so each one is a Shiur for the other part. So therefore, so we're good. Now, on the face of it, if they wanted to make an Eruv together, they couldn't, because there's no way to cross over from one neighborhood of Mavoyas to the next one. So there you have an example where they couldn't have all made an Eruv together, and yet we're saying it's good enough to make an Eruv neighborhood by neighborhood. Each one will be a shiur for the next one. So the same thing over here in the city of Kakunoi that we're dealing with, where you have these houses that face the river, even though physically they're not able to join in the Eruv because they don't have any openings or windows in the direction of the city, nevertheless, it should be good enough, and we can have them be the shiur for the Eruv without having to have them open windows in their walls. Hodr Omar, then Abaya thinks to himself further, Loi Dami, actually, it's not really the same. It's not really the same. By the way, we had this thing of the Peyer of the Veturi back in the second parak also. There Rashi explained that Rashi explained it much, much differently. There the deal was, we had the, in the diagram over here, you can see there are walls on the outside. It says, Mechitza Lishmer Hagarinin, but Rashi explains that even though you have physically those Mechitzas whose purpose is to preserve the date pit so that people don't come in and take them. Nevertheless, Rashi explained over there that mechitza is not considered a mechitza, that it should be considered a walled city, because the purpose of those walls is only to keep the date pits from being stolen, rather than a city wall is usually there for defense of the city or whatever. Anyway. So going back over here to Abaya's case, so he thinks to himself, Omar, he says to himself, Loid Dami, actually it's not really the same thing as the case in Mechuza. Hosem Iboila Aruvi Derech Gagos, because there, if they wanted, they could have made an Eruv using the roofs. Because there is another detail with that, with Mechuza and their pits over there, they actually had overpasses between the neighborhoods from one roof to the other, where they could walk, they had overpasses, they had pedestrian bridges where they were able to go across from one neighborhood to the next, going over the Peyer de Beit Ori. So therefore, so in that case, they could iboila aruvi derech gagos. If they wanted, they could have made the eruv by way of the roofs, because they have these overpasses from one roof to another. Which, by the way, means then that Rav Baravur did not have to make the city an eruv one neighborhood at a time. He could conceivably have made the eruv for the whole city together and just made one neighborhood be a shir. But in practice, I guess the point is they didn't use those overpasses that often. So therefore they weren't going to bother doing that. Instead, he just made an eruv for a neighborhood at a time, and that was good enough for them. They didn't need that much to be able to bring things from one neighborhood to the other on Shabbos. Anyway, the point is that so Abaya thinks to himself, at least over there they had the possibility. All these houses are, after all, connected together, despite the Peyer de Beit Ori. They're connected by these pedestrian bridges from one house to another. As opposed to Vahani Loi Ma'ari. On the other hand, these houses that we're dealing with that are facing away from the city, there's no way to make an eruv between them and the rest of the city. Because again, they have only one door, each house has only one door that faces the river. On the other side, facing the city, it has no door or no window that satisfies the conditions in halacha at all. So again, going back to Abaya's assumption that the houses that are left out of the eruv have to be ones that could conceivably have been made part of the eruv, then here you don't have that. So therefore, Hilkach Nav and Tabi. So we're going to have to make them windows. Harder Omar, then Abaya thinks back to himself, no, Kavi Nami Loiboi, actually, we shouldn't need windows after all. And we know that, Dahu Beit Tivna, because there was this case of a storage house for straw, Dahavalila Marbar Pupidja Mipumbedissa, Marbar Pupidja, that was his name, in Pumbedissa, had a storage house for straw. The Shavi Shir, the Pumbedissa, and he used it as the Shir for Pumbedissa. Now, it's one house by itself. So actually, Tosfos says, now we had a machlokes in the Mishnah, whether you need 50 houses left out, or whether you need 3 chatzeros of 2 houses each. Now, the halacha, Tosfos says, is like Reb Shimon. So you need 6 houses then. So this Beit Tivna, the sword house for straw, would only be one of them. Okay, Tosfos says it doesn't mean that it was the only shear. It means it counted as one of the 6 houses that they left out of the eruv of Pumbedissa. We're going to see soon. There's another opinion in the Gemara that says that you only need one house and one chatzar. If we say that the halacha is like that opinion, as we'll see soon, then it could be that the Beit Tivna all by itself was the shiur. Anyway, the point is now the Beit Tivna again. This building over here that they use for storing straw. It's not something that usually would be able to be part of an eruv because nobody lives there, and yet the fact that we left it out is good enough, and it's considered a shiur. Because conceivably you could live in it because it is a building after all. So we see ultimately that you don't need to have the houses that are the shiur do not need to be ones that could conceivably have been part of the eruv. It's enough that they're just physically located there in the city, and then we don't make them part of the eruv. So in other words, the bottom line is Abaya says to himself, so I don't actually have to have them make windows. We see from that case of the straw storage shed that we don't need that we don't need windows or we don't need anything of that. So therefore it's good enough those houses that are facing the river here in Kakunoi are able to be the shear for the rest of the city. Omar, so after all this back and forth to himself, Abaya realizes, now I understand what my Rebbe, what Rabbi Yosef told me when he sent me over here, make sure that you don't do it in a way that they're going to complain about me in the Bes Medrash. Because what would have happened if I had had them make the windows? Eventually it would have turned out, based on this whole back and forth, that it wasn't necessary, and then they would come and complain, why did I make them damage their houses and build windows for no reason? So that's the bottom line is, in other words, so that's the halacha. The houses that are the shear for the city do not need to be ones that in any that could have conceivably been part of the Eruv. It's enough that they're physically located in the city and then they're not made part of the Eruv, which as we discussed yesterday, nowadays when they make city Eruvin, it's very common they don't make a shear at all. And already the Rishonim deal with a number of reasons why not. Among the reasons are because you have the houses of the Goyim in other neighborhoods that are not part of the Eruv. And then you have a variety of other reasons also. A major reason, which is the only reason the Alter Rebbe brings, is because nowadays we hold that in many cities we don't have 600,000 people anyway. And according to Rashi, you need that in order for it to even be considered a Rosh Hashanah. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Elim Kain Osa Chutzalah Ke'ir Chadasha. We said that if you have a city shell rabbim, then you have to, if you have a city shell rabbim, then we said you have to leave part of the city outside the Eruv. You have to leave some of the houses outside the Eruv. And Rabbi Yehuda says the amount is the size of the city of Chadasha. So what is that? Tanya Omer of Yehuda. Ir Achas Shehoise Yehuda. There was a city in Yehuda, in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. The Chadasha Shema. The name of it was Chadasha. We have a pasuk actually in Yeshua that mentions, when it lists the borders and the cities of Eretz Yisrael, it mentions the city Chadasha. V'hoyeba nun diyurim anoshim v'noshim v'taf. Altogether there were 50 people living in there. Men, women, and children. Altogether there were 50. Uvahoy Mosharim Chachamim. So the Chachamim used that as the measurement for the shear of a city. And in fact, the Hehoisa shear, it itself served as the shear for a nearby large city. So there was a large city near this Chadasha where they made an Eruv for the city. And then Chadasha was close enough to be considered in a certain sense that it was part of that larger city. I guess it was within 70 or 141 amos of the larger city. And therefore they used it as the shear for the larger city. They left it out of the larger city's Eruv. So you see then that Eruv Chatzeres, Shetuv Havoyos, as we've been talking about over here. So therefore you see, says Rabbi Yehuda, that that's the amount you need is 50 houses, or 50 people. Not 50 houses, but 50 people. Okay. So the Gemara says, they asked the question, what about Chadasha itself? Could they make an Eruv of their own? Well, I said, what's the problem? What's the question? If we're saying that Chadasha and the other big city next to it are considered, in effect, one city, and we're saying, therefore, we leave out Chadasha from the big city's Eruv, and that's considered a shear, we can do the other way around as well. We can say Chadasha itself can make their own Eruv. The large city near it is outside that Eruv, and that's a shear. So, therefore, we're good. So fine. So there's no question. No, rather the question is, what if you have a city like Chadasha, meaning a city of 50 people, which is not near a large city? Do they need a shear or do they not? Are they able to make an Eruv of the entire city? One point is, Mefarshim point out, according to Rashi, that we said that the definition of Shel Rabim is a city of 600,000, and obviously a city like Chadasha that only has 50 people is not going to need that. But the question is, what if the city once had 600,000 people, and now the population has gone so far down that now it's only 50? from 600,000, it went all the way down to 50. Can you imagine? So then the question is, do they still need a shiur? Now, we said in the Mishnah that if it was a city of Rabbim and then it became a city of Yochid, they still need a shiur. But the question is, does that apply even if the population went down that far, all the way down to the size of the city of Chadasha? So Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda argue about that. Chadam Boya Shir, one says you still need to make a Shir, because after all, it was once a city, Shal Rabim. Again, according to Tosfos and all the other Rishonim, the question doesn't begin, because according to them, anyway, the definition of Shal Rabim and Shal Yachid is that it used to belong to a Yachid, is that it belongs to an individual versus belongs to a Rabim. So therefore, we could be talking about, you have a city of Chadasha that has 50 people, but let's say the city belongs to all 50 of them in common. Anyway, so Chadam Abaya Shir, so between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, one says that you still have to leave a Shir, so you still have to leave some cities out of it, some houses out of it, but Chadam Abaya Shir, the other one says it doesn't require it. And that's the halacha. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Amigdimol Chatzeres V'chola, we said Rav Shimon says that all you need is three Chatzeres with two houses each, and you leave those out of the Eruv of the Irshol Rabbim, and that's good enough. So who is the halacha like between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon? Amar of Chama Baguya Amar Rav halacha to Rav Shimon. So the halacha is like Rav Shimon, as we learned before in the sugya about halacha kedivrei HaMekom Eruv. We said over there, Rav doesn't hold of that general rule, halacha kedivrei HaMekom Eruv, but he holds in this particular case, the halacha is like Rav Shimon. The Gemara continues, Rav Yitzchak Amar, afilu bayis echad v'chotzer achas. Rav Yitzchak says a different opinion. He says, even if you only have one house and one chotzer left out of the Eruv, then that's good enough, that's considered a shiur. So you ask, chotzer achas, what do you mean? What do you mean one chotzer? If you mean a chotzer without a house, that can't be a shir. Even we talked before about Marba Popidza's house of building where he stored straw, but at least that's a building you could conceivably live in it. A chotzer alone without a house in it is not someplace you can live. So how can a house and separately a chotzer be considered a shir? Rather, no, we have to say what Rav Shimon means is one house within one chotzer. Now, you have actually a machlokas rishonim within that. Does that mean you dafka have to have a chotzer? The argument would be that if you just have one house without a chotzer, then it doesn't have enough chashivus. Or would we say that, no, we're just mentioning a chotzer, because typically that's how it was. The houses open up into a chotzer, but maybe you don't even require that. Maybe even if you just have a house without a chotzer, that would be good enough. So machlokas rishonim on that. Okay. Now, so we have three opinions. We have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, and we have Rabbi Yitzchak in the Gemara. Now, on the face of it, Rabbi Yitzchak is an Amora. And Amora can't argue with Tanoim. So therefore, the question becomes, how can Rabbi Yitzchak do this? Amalei Abaye L'Rabbi Yosef, hold Rabbi Yitzchak, Gemara or Svara? This that Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, is it something that he learned from his Rebbeim, meaning that he learned that there was some Tana that holds a third opinion? So we don't have it recorded in the Mishnah or in a Braisa, but Rabbi Yitzchak learned from his Rebbeim, the Kabbalah, that there is such a Tana, and then in that case, fine, he's able to argue. Or is it just a Svara that he came up with on his own, in which case Tosfos says, what do we mean? He being an Amori, he can't argue with Tanoim. What it would mean, in other words, his Svara would be that he would say that if, you know, were it not for the opinions of the Tanoim, then I would have said, Miss Svara, that this is good enough. But okay, I can't argue with the Tanoim. you find such a thing sometimes in Svarim. You'll find, for example, that Rashi, let's say, or another Rishon explains something a certain way, and you'll have an Achron writes, Lulay de Mr. Finna, if I weren't afraid to argue with Rashi, then I would say the Pshat is such and such, let's say. So maybe here it's the same kind of thing. Maybe Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, but personally, I would have thought to say Bais Echad B'chotzer Achas, but okay, because the Tanoim said differently, then we have no choice to accept them. So what is it? Did he get it from his Rebbeim, or is it a Svara of his own? So Rabbi Yosef asks him, what's the difference? We said the halacha is like Reb Shimon, so the halacha is not like Reb Yitzchok anyway. What do we care where Reb Yitzchok got his svara from? Amalei, so Abaya answers him with an expression that we've had before in Masechta Shabbos, Gemara Gemur Zemur, that, hey, should we say to somebody, learn the Gemara and it'll be like a song? In other words, we're just going to learn it meaninglessly and not try to understand it. We still want to understand, even if the halacha is not like Reb Yitzchok, we still want to understand where he got his opinion from, whether from Gemara or whether from svara. That's according to Tosfos. That's according to Rashi and Tosfos that the halacha is like Reb Shimon. Many other Rishonim, including the Rif and the Rambam and the Rosh, learn the Gemara differently. They learn that in fact the halacha is like Reb Yitzchak. That all you need as the shiur for the city is one house and one chatzar. And again, we have a machlokas Rishonim whether you actually require a house within a chatzar or whether it's good enough a house by itself. So how do they do that? The Rosh explains in Tosfos HaRosh that evidently the Rif and these other Rishonim had a girsa over here, not Reb Yitzchak Omar, which would mean, so we had Rav saying the halacha is like Reb Shimon, and then Reb Yitzchak and Amora arguing with Rav, but rather Omar Reb Yitzchak or Reb Yitzchak Omer, which would mean that if he's a Tana, which would mean there was a Tana named Reb Yitzchak, so therefore we'd be quoting a Braisa where Reb Yitzchak, the Tana, is saying a third opinion, and therefore being a Tana, he's able to argue with Rabbi Yehuda and with Rabbi Shimon, and therefore when the Gemara is asking Gemara or Svara, it's exactly the other way around. It's asking, given that the halacha is like Rabbi Yitzchak, we'd like to know, where did he get his opinion? Is it something that he learned from his Rebbeim, or is it something that he came up with a Svara on his own? Fine, if he came up with a Svara on his own, he's entitled to. He's a Tana, according to this way of looking at it, and he's entitled to argue with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, but we'd like to know. And Aran Rabbi Yosef tells him, what's the difference? The halacha is like him, is like him either way. And Abaya tells him, still, we want to know because we don't just want to learn Gemara like a song where we don't understand the meaning of the words. So according to that, it comes out, the halacha is like Rabbi Yitzchak. One house is enough as a shiur. One house and one chatzar is enough as a shiur for the city, and that's how it's paskin and shulchan aruch. Okay. Going back now we're going to go back to matters of eruv etchumin. Again, we digressed in the past in this Mishnah that we had and the Gemara on it to talk about eruv etchatzeros, which mostly we're going to deal with in the sixth and seventh parak. But now we're back to eruv etchumin. The Mishnah says, Misha Hoya Bamizrach, somebody who was out in the east of his house, let's say he was out in the field, Rashi says, and Shabbos is about to start, but Amal Ibnai Orev Liba Mairev, so he tells his son previously, before Shabbos began, make an Eruv for me on the west side, or Bamairev Amal Ibnai Orev Liba Mizrach, the other way around, he was on the west, he was west of his house, and he told his son, make me an Eruv on the east side. So what happens is, if between where he is now in the field and his house is less than 2,000, is 2,000 amos or less, but there's more than 2,000 amos to from him to his Eruv, in other words, you know, so he's here. He's here, his house is here, his Eruv is here, let's say. So he's able to walk to his house because it's within 2,000 amos, but the Eruv is more than 2,000 amos away. Then the din is mutar lebeis sefer asur le'eruv. Then the din is he's allowed to walk to his house, he's allowed to walk back to his house because within 2,000 amos, but he's also to his Eruv because, as we've learned before, the Eruv has to be accessible bein hashmashes, and here it's not because he's more than 2,000 amos away from it, and the only way to reach it would be to be over on the Isur of Tchumen. So therefore, he's not able to reach the Eruv. So the Eruv doesn't count, and his Tchum is the Tchum of his house. Rashi actually points out, now didn't we have the case? We had the case previously, and at the end of the fourth parak, you have the case where a person was far away from the city on the road. He says, I want my Makam Shvisa to be by this tree or whatever, by this landmark, but he didn't specify where under it he wants his Makam Shvisa. And we said there that we said there, let's say the tree was so large, let's say, that there's no defined four amos that he chose as his Makam Shvisa. So then we said, what happens is, according to Rav, and the halacha is, we said according to Rav, The result is he can't go anywhere. He's limited to 4 amas. He doesn't have a makom shvisa under the tree because larger than 4 amas. He also doesn't have a makom shvisa where he is now, because since he wanted his makom shvisa to be under the tree, then he was masiach das, he was oiker das, from having it over there where he's standing now. So the result is he's considered as though he's outside the tum at the beginning of Shabbos, and all he has is 4 amas. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Actually, the case over there was, to be more exact, we talked about a case over there where he said he wants his makom shvisa to be at a place that it turns out is more than 2,000 amas from where he is now. Let's say he says, I want it to be under the north side of the tree, but the north side of the tree is more than 2,000 amas away from him. So then we said, lo yozuz memkaima, he can't move from where he is. He's stuck within 4 amas. Why don't we say the same thing over here? Where, after all, he wanted his Eruv to take effect, but in the end, his Eruv is too far away, so it should be exactly the same thing. It's more than 2,000 amas away. Why is he able to go to his house, and he has the tchum of his house? So Rashi differentiates, because over there, you're talking about, he was on the road, so he didn't want to be Kona Shvisa where he was now. He didn't do a proper thing to be Kona Shvisa under that tree or whatever. So therefore he's stuck. As opposed to over here, after all, he is living at home. He's just out in the field right now. So therefore we can still say he wasn't completely... So in the other case, we say he wants to be Kona Shvisa under the tree, and because he can't, then he's not Kona Shvisa anywhere, because there's no reason to say that the place where he is now should be any stronger than any place else. As opposed to over here, Rashi says, what we'll say is, the house itself is his default Makom Shvisa, if he has nothing else. He'd like to have an Eruv in the other direction in order to be able to go further in that direction. But if the Eruv doesn't work out, then he defaults back to his house. That's a distinction that Rashi makes. Some other Rishonim, the Ritva, and others make a different distinction, because over there we're talking about he himself said that he wants his Makom Shvisa to be here or there. So he messed up, and he messed up. That's his problem. Here he sent a shliach to do it. He sent his son to do it. So if his son put the Eruv too far away where it doesn't work, and then we have a concept in halacha. When you send a shliach to do something, you can tell him, "L'takurish darticha v'loy la'avsi, I sent you as my shliach to do something where it'll benefit me, not where it's going to mess up things for me." So therefore, in effect, what he can say is, I'm disavowing what the shliach did. He didn't do it in my name, because he didn't do it on my behalf, because he messed up. So therefore, there's no Eruv at all that was placed on his behalf, and therefore his home is his house. Continues the Mishnah, the other way around, what happens if his Eruv is within 2,000 amas of him, and his city is, and his house, rather, is further away from that, then the other way around, also then he's also to his house, meaning he doesn't have the tchum of his house, he's mutter in the tchum of his Eruv, and now, of course, if the Eruv is within 2,000 amas of his house, he'll be able to walk all the way home by means of the Eruv, but the point is that his tchum will be based on his Eruv rather than based on his house, because at the beginning of Shabbos, his house was more than 2,000 amas away from him. We'll see in the Gemara what the scenario is that you can have. After all, we said that he was on the east, and he said to his son, make me an Eruv on the west. So how do you have a scenario where his Eruv is closer to him than his house? We'll see in the Gemara. Continues the Gemara, if somebody places his Eruv in the extension of the city, which means, in other words, so in let's say he places it in one of the houses which is within 70 2/3 amas of the city, where we learned at the beginning of the parak that those houses are considered an extension of the city, and you start measuring the tum from outside them. So if he places it in one of those houses, then what he did doesn't count for anything, because anyway the whole city counts as 4 amas, and he has 2,000 amas outside it. So by placing the Eruv in one of these houses, he hasn't changed anything. He still has that he's considered that his Makom Shvisa is the city, and the whole city counts as 4 amas, and therefore that he's able to, and he has 2,000 amas outside of it in every direction. We don't measure the tchum from the part. We don't measure his tchum from the particular house where he placed it. There's a couple of other explanations what Ibura Shal'ir means over here. One thing is, we learned a couple of Mishnayos ago, that a mayor says, in general, a city always has an Ibur of 70 2/3 amas, even if there's no, even and you start measuring the tchum outside of it. So according to the mayor, this din over here would mean, even you just placed it in the Ibur Shal'ir, within those 70 amas, from which you start measuring the tchum, only outside of those 70 amas. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos brings up a possibility also that maybe Ibura Shal'ir means like this. We learned earlier in the Perek that if the city is not square or rectangular, then we square it off first, and only then do we start measuring the Tum. So Ibura Shal'ir could include that area where which is not actually part of the city, but which is considered La'alocha part of the city.
Okay.
Continues the Mishnah. Nosne chutz l'tchum. If he placed the eruv outside the tchum, and we're going to see the Gemara, in the Gemara, outside the tchum doesn't mean literally outside the tchum, then it wouldn't do any good. It means outside the ibur shalir. Afilu ama achas. Even if he placed it one ama outside the ibur, masha nisko hu mafsid. Then what happens is, whatever he gains in one direction, he loses in the other direction. In other words, this is a general concept where we've touched on this a number of times, but when you put down an Erev Chatzeres, when you put down an Erev Tchumen, you're not really increasing the area in which you can walk. What you're doing is you're shifting it over. So if you have, let's say, so Rashi gives an example over here. If let's say you live in a city, and like this, you would have been able to walk 2,000 amas in every direction outside of it. Let's say you placed your eruv of 1,000 amas away from the city to the east. So then what happens is, on the east now, you're able to walk 3,000 amas, but on the west, you're only able to walk 1,000. On the west, you're only able to walk 1,000 amas. So you always have whatever you're gaining in one direction with the eruv, you're losing in the other direction. So we're going to deal with that point in the Gemara. We're going to explain that point in the Gemara, what exactly that means as far as the gaining and the losing. So the Gemara starts off. Kasaka Daitach. Now we start with the assumption that in the first case of the Mishnah, where he was standing in the east and told his son to make an Eruv for him in the west or the other way around, L'mizrach means L'mizrach Beisai and L'mayrav means L'mayrav Beisai. East means that he was in the fields east of his house and he tells his son, make an Eruv for me west of the house. And vice versa. So therefore, b'shleimah he'menu l'beisei alpayim ama ulei ruva yosem ikan mashkach asla. So you can easily find how you could have that he's within 2,000 amas of his house when Shabbos begins, but he's further away from the Eruv. Mashkach asla d'mati l'beisei v'lemati l'eruva. You can find that easily enough. He's within 2,000 amas of his house. He could have walked there without the Eruv, but the Eruv is further out in that. So he's in the east. The house is he's in the east. The house is in the house is further west than him. The Eruv is even further west than that. So sure, the house can be within 2,000. The Eruv can be more than that. But how would you have the scenario that his Eruv is closer to him than his house? What's the scenario? You're thinking that east and west in our Mishnah refer to so you have in Hagoyis Habach, you have the diagram of how the Gemara assumes the scenario is. So you have on the top Adam Amitzav Levnoi, the person who's telling his son. In the middle you have Beisai, his house. Further down you have Eruv. So we're saying so the house, you can easily see how the house is closer than the Eruv, but how do you have a case where the Eruv is closer than the house? So Amrav Yitzchak Misavrat Lemizrach Lemizrach Beisai the Ma'ariv Beisai. You're thinking that the words east and west in our Mishnah refer to relative to the house. Lemizrach means Lemizrach Benoi. Lemayrav means Lemayrav Benoi. It means that he's east or west of his son. In other words, you could have the other way around. You could have he's further away from the house. His son is closer to the house, so it is west of him, let's say. He's way out in the east, more than 2,000 amas away from the house. He tells his son, he tells his son who is closer to the house than him, put down an Eruv over there for me. And so therefore, so it comes out, the Eruv is close, so the Eruv is west of him, but the house is even further west. So it comes out, the Eruv is closer to him than the house. So again, if the house is more than 2,000 away, and the Eruv is within 2,000, okay, then his Makom Shvitza is where the Eruv is, and therefore as long as his house is within 2,000 amas of that, he's good, but his tchum for that Shabbos would be based on that Eruv rather than based on his house. On the other hand, Rav Bar of Shila Amar, Afilu Temel Mizrach means Mizrach Beisai or Lamayrav Beisai. No, you could still assume that the word Mizrach and Mayrav mean relative to his house, as we assumed originally, because you could have a case, you're going to call it Beisai Balachsona. Let's say his house is on a diagonal from where he is. So you can see the diagram in Rashi. The Eruv, let's say, is exactly west of him. The house is southwest of him. So you could physically have the Eruv is further west than the house. You can see in the picture over there, the Eruv is further towards west, further towards Meirav than the house is. But the Eruv is within 2,000 amas. The house, being that you have to go on a diagonal, then it takes more than 2,000 amas to get there. So therefore, so there you could have a case also where the Eruv is accessible at the beginning of Shabbos, but the house is not. We said in the Mishnah that Hanosin Eruv of a Sech Ibur of a Chola. We said you have the case where the person put his Eruv within the Ibur of the city. We said it doesn't do any good. It doesn't make a difference because either way his Tchum is still the Tchum of the city. But we said if he placed it outside the Tchum, even one Amma, then he gains and loses on the different sides. And what does it mean? What do you mean outside the Tchum? If he puts it outside the Tchum, it doesn't do him any good at all because he can't reach it before Shabbos. Okay, when we say we mean outside of the Ibur. So again, you have this Ibur, you have this house within 70 and two-thirds amas of the city. So we said if he places it in that house, then it doesn't make a difference because his tchum is the tchum of the city either way, and the whole city counts as a four amas. But like this, he placed it one amma outside his house, outside that last house, then we say then you measure his tchum based on that. So then you start going 2,000 amas in every direction from that. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah Mashen Nisko Hu Mafsid, we said whatever he gains in one direction, he loses in the other direction. So the question is, Mashen Nisko Vetuloi, you're telling me he only gains and loses the exact same amount on the different sides? Valtanya, we learn in a Braisa that sometimes you end up losing more than you gain. The Braisa begins, like we said in our Mishnah, if you put your Eruv in the Iburashal Ir, then what you did doesn't count for anything because it's anyway, your Tchum is anyway the Tchum of the city. But, continues the Braisa, Nosne Chutz the Iburashal Ir, if you place the Eruv outside the Iburashal Ir, Afilu Amma Achas, even if you placed it one Amma outside the Iburashal Ir, Mistaker Oisa Amma, okay, so you gain that one Amma, you're now able to walk one Amma further in that direction than you otherwise would have, but Umafsid Eskola Ir Kula. But on the other hand, on the other side, you lose the entire city. Because you have to count the city as part of his tchum. In other words, the Gemara is assuming, regardless of the size of the city, we're going to see in a second, it's not so, but we're assuming for purposes of the question that what we're saying is the size of the city, regardless. So in other words, like this, if he had placed his Eruv in the city, then the whole city would count as four amas, and then he has 2,000 amas beyond the city. You always have four amas wherever you put your Eruv. So let's say he didn't make an Eruv at all. His Tchum would include 2,000 amas east of the city, let's say. Now we're saying what he did is he walked one amma outside the Ibur HaShal Ir, and he placed his Eruv there, to the west. So now we're saying he's able to walk in the west the 2,000 amas from there. But in the east, we're saying the city doesn't count as four amas anymore. The city counts as part of his tchum. So if let's say the city is 1,000 amas wide, then he only has 1,000. He has the entire city of 1,000 amas, and then he has another 999 amas in that direction. So it sounds like he lost more than he gained, because in the one side he gained only one amma, and on the other side he lost 999. The answer is loy kasha. There's no contradiction. Kansha kolsa midose b'chatsi ha'ir, kansha kolsa midose b'soif ha'ir. The difference whether his measurement of 2,000 amas ends in the middle of the city or at the end of the city. What we do is like this, in other words. We say as follows. So let's say in our scenario that we just described. So we have a city, let's say 1,000 amas wide. If he placed his Eruv one amma outside the city, or outside the Ibur of the city, whatever, then what we say is because the entire city fits within his 2,000 amas in that direction, because after all, he has 2,000 amas from his Eruv, one amma back to the city, and then the entire city is only 1,000 amas, so then that whole city counts as only four amas. So actually, Rashi over here seems to say that he doesn't lose anything at all. The city doesn't count as anything at all. Meaning Well, actually, it actually does use the expression elakula kadalanamis, so it sounds it's a little bit unclear from Rashi's wording whether he means that the city will count as four amas in the sense that therefore, let's say you only have 996 amas past it, or nine, in our case over here, I guess actually you'd have 19, now you'd have 1995, whatever, because you have one amma from outside the city, or does Rashi mean that it doesn't count as anything at all, and if we have the full 2,000? Whatever, the Rambam makes it clear that it means that the city counts as four ammas, so then that's the din, so then you're not losing anything on that side. The whole city still counts as four amas because it fits within your Trum Shabbos, and therefore, so beyond it, you have whatever else it takes to reach 2,000 amas. As opposed to Kancha Kolsimi, as opposed to the first case, the case of the Braisa, where we're saying you lose the city, is where your measurement ends in the middle of the city. So let's say in our case over here, let's say you placed your Eruv one amma to the west of the city. Let's say the city itself is 2,000 amas wide. So if your Trum had been within the city, you would have been able to walk within the entire city and 2,000 amas east of it. Like this, because you put your Eruv west of the city, one amma, then the result, and the city itself is 2,000 wide, the result is you can walk one amma from your Trum to the city, another 1,999 ammas, but that still leaves you one amma away from the end of the city, and then you have to stop there. So that's the difference. So that's the difference, whether the city fits within your Eruv or not. There is an interesting point, actually, though, that Rashi discussed earlier in the Masech, that Tosfos discusses it over here, that if you place your Eruv outside the city, but you go and stay overnight in the city, let's say you wanted to walk someplace Shabbos morning, so you put down an Eruv Tchumen before Shabbos outside the city, let's say like nowadays you do to go to another bungalow colony or something, so you place it, let's say, 2,000 amas away. Now, if we were to say that your Makom Shvisa is only the place of that Eruv, the result would be that the result would be that you'd only be able to walk in your bungalow colony itself. You wouldn't be able to walk any further than in the other direction than your Eruv. You place your Eruv, let's say, 2,000 amas east of the bungalow. First of all, you'd have to make sure that it would be within 2,000 amas of your actual house. Otherwise, again, if your Makom Shvisa is where that Eruv is, and you only have 2,000 amas in each direction from it, on the face of it, you might not be able to return home before Shabbos if your house itself happens to be at the far end of the bungalow colony, let's say. Is that the case? Rashi discusses earlier, and Tosfos over here says, no. If the person stays overnight in the city on Friday night, then we consider, even though we say that his Makom Shvisa is the place of that Eruv, we do, on the other hand, say, Lakula, that the city itself, where he stayed overnight, is considered like four amas to him, and therefore that he's able to walk. So now, the result of it is, he placed his Eruv east of the city. He's not going to be able to, he placed it, let's say, 2,000 amas east of the city. He's not going to be able to walk west of the city at all, but within the city itself, he'll be able to walk the whole thing, even though he placed it 2,000 amas east of the eastern side of the city. We're still going to allow him to walk throughout the whole city because he did spend the night, he did stay over Friday night in that city. And that's how it's brought, that's how the halacha is brought in Shulchan Aruch. So the Chidur of Idi, and in fact, the Gemara says this distinction between whether the city fits within the Tchum or not, that's like what Rav Idi says. The Amr of Idi, Amr of Shimon Levi, Hayam Moded Uva, if a person is measuring, now here we're talking about the case where a person was outside the city when Shabbos began, but he knew that there's a nearby city. So we said that if he knows the city is there and he wants to be Kona Shvisa in the city, then he is, and he's able to walk through the city, and the whole city counts as four amas. But we have a case, let's say, where he was within 2,000 amas of the city, but he didn't know it. So we said then that all he can do is walk 2,000 amas from where he was at the beginning of Shabbos, because that's where he's Kona Shvisa. And if that 2,000 amas ends in the middle of the city, then he has to stop there. He can't go any further. So if his measurement of 2,000 stops in the middle of the city, then he only has half the city. He can only walk in that half. As we've learned previously, he can throw things to the rest of the city, but he can't walk there. Colson, he does it, a sight for ear. On the other hand, if his measurement ends at the end of the city or further, so in other words, the whole city fits within his 2,000 amas, not a slayer ear, kula kadalad amas, then the entire city counts for him like 4 amas, or mashlim and layers hashar, and then we add up the rest. So in other words, again, he was, let's say, 1,000 amas from the city when Shabbos began. The whole city is, let's say, at 500 or 800 or whatever, let's say the city is, it doesn't matter, that's whether it's 500 or 800 or even 999 amas in size, so he's able to walk the 1,000 amas to the city itself counts as 4 amas, and then he's able to walk another 996 beyond the city in the other direction. So we see that there's that distinction between whether the city fits within the 2,000 amas or not. Amr of Idi, but Rav Idi says, I quoted that in the name of Rav Yishur ben Levi, well, not but, wait, Amr of Idi, so Rav Idi says, I quoted that in the name of Rav Yishur ben Levi, and actually, Ein Eru Ela Divrei Nevius. This is only like words of Nevius, which means Rashi says, it's as if he's saying a Nevuah. Rav Yishur ben Levi is not giving a reason why there should be that distinction. It must be that he learned them from his Rebbe, because otherwise there's no logical reason why he would have made that distinction. Tosfos has a long discussion over here that when we say in the Gemara, this expression, Einelo Eladivinavius, is an expression you find in a few other places in Chas. Tosfos explains that it's actually meant as a praise. In other words, what a chachma. Sort of the opposite of Rashi. Rashi is saying that it means there's no logic, there's no rhyme or reason to this. The only way that Rabbi Shur ben Levi could have said such a thing, he couldn't have come up with it on his own, he must have learned it from his Rebbeim b'Kabbalah. Tosfos says that actually what Rabbi Idi is saying is he's saying this distinction, this is a very fine distinction between whether the city fits within the Tchum or not. He must have been a great chacham, almost like a navi, to be able to come up like al-derach, like we have the expression in the Gemara in Baba Basra that says that miyom shechara beis hamikdash, that ever since the beis hamikdash was destroyed, nevuah was taken from the neviim and given to the chachamim. So therefore, Tosfos says, so it means over here also in the same thing, means he's praising it. He's saying that's a great distinction. And it takes a Talmud chacham of the caliber of Rabbi Shlomo Levi, who was almost like a navi, to come up with such a distinction. Because after all, otherwise you would say Mali Kolsa B'Chatziyah here, Mali Kolsa B'Sofer here. Because after all, why would there be a logical reason to distinguish whether the 2,000 Amos ends, whether the 2,000 Amos ends at the end of the city, or whether it ends at the end of the city, or whether in the middle of the city, or at the end of the city. So therefore it must be different interviews. So Amar Rava, so actually Rava says, it's not such divrei nevius, there's actually a logic to it, and in fact, Tavayu Tnani, we learned both of these dinim in the Mishnah. The next Mishnah that we're going to learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem, says, Anshe ir gdola mahalchen es kol ir ktana, you have a scenario in the next Mishnah where you have a big city and a small city near each other, and we have a case. We have a case. It says over there, the people of the big city, Mahalchen is called Irktana, the people of the big city are able to walk throughout the entire small one. In other words, what do we mean? We mean, in other words, that the tchum of the large city includes the entire small city. So therefore, like we said, the whole small city counts as 4 amas. So therefore, they're able to walk from their city. So let's say again, their big city is 1,000 amas away from the small city. The small city is, let's say, 500 amas in size. So they're able to walk. They walk 1,000 amas to the small city. The small city itself, being only 500, counts as if it was 4 amas. And then they can walk another 996. But the Ein Anshe Ir Ktanim Ha'alchen Es Kol Ir Gdola. But vice versa, the people of the small city cannot walk through the entire big city, B'Pashtus, because we're talking about, because, as he's going to say, B'Pashtus, because the tchum of the small city ends somewhere in the middle of the big city. And therefore, you don't have the din. The whole big city doesn't count as 4 amas. They can only walk until they reach the point of 2,000 amas, and that's that. So you see, my timer. So Rava says, so what would be the reason for the distinction? Lav mishum dahani kolsami dasin v'chatsiya ir, v'hani kolsami dasin v'saifa ir. But Pashtus, it's because exactly that. The people of the big city, their tchum ends beyond the little city. So therefore, the whole little city counts as 4 amas for them. But vice versa, there's a small city's tchum ends somewhere in the middle of the big city, therefore the big city doesn't count as 4 amas for them, and therefore they can only walk until they reach the 2,000 amma point. So therefore, so it's not divrei nevius. There is logic to it. Vira or according to Tosfos, why are you complimenting it so much and saying only a Talmid Chacham of the caliber of Rabbi Shimon Levi could have come up with such a distinction? We see that distinction right there in the Mishnah. So for Rabbi Idi, what would Rabbi Idi answer to that? He would say Anshe Anshe Tani. He has a different version of the Mishnah. His version of the Mishnah is that both of them are allowed to walk through each other's cities. And Umukim Lo Benosin. So he explains the Mishnah is not talking about the question of measuring the tum of one or the other. He explains the Mishnah of the next Mishnah is talking about a case, a person who lives in the big city and places his Eruv in the small city. So the small city counts as his four Amos, and therefore his tum is now the tum of the small city. And vice versa, the people of the small city placed his Eruv in the big city. Again, it's within 2,000 Amos of him. So therefore, the same idea, the whole city counts as four Amos for him. So that Mishnah has nothing to do with the question of measuring Tumin from one city to another. It's just a matter of that either way, the whole city counts as four Amos. Avol Moided Loitnan. But the Mishnah is not talking about measuring at all, where you're outside the city and you want to walk into the city and you're seeing where your 2,000 Amos ends. So therefore, according to Rav Idi's version of the Mishnah is not addressing that kind of case at all. Therefore, he says, and what Rabbi Shrovah Levi says, Ein Ela Divri Nevius, that where did he get the Svara from? Well, he must have been a very high caliber Talmid Chacham. So the Gemara says, Veloi, what do you mean? It doesn't say anything in the next Mishnah about measuring. It does. The Mishnah continues, Velamodid Sha'amru, when a person is measuring from his Mokum Shvisa or his place of his Eruv or whatever, when we say he has 2,000 Amos, Nosin Le'apayim Amos, so we say we give him 2,000 Amos in every direction, and that means Sha'afilu Seif Midosei Kolav Amara. Even if the measurement ends in the middle of a cave, then he can only go in the cave until the 2,000 Amos limit. So we see by the same logic should apply to a city, that if the 2,000 Amos ends someplace in the middle of the city, then that's as far as you can go. So again, what's the divine of use? The answer is so for you, it's Rechaled Leitan. Okay, but after all, the Mishnah does not mention Rabbi Shurban Levi would tell us that we didn't mention any, according to Rabbi Idi's version of the Mishnah, we didn't say anything about the city counting as four Amos. Fine, we mentioned about the case where you end in the middle of a cave. We didn't talk about where you end in the middle of a city. Maybe a city is different. So therefore, Rabbi Shurban Levi is telling us that nevertheless the same distinction applies whether it's in the middle of the city or whether the 2,000 Amos includes the whole city. But nevertheless, Rav Idi, who has a different version of the Mishnah than Rava did, and then we do, says that therefore what Rav Shimon Levi is saying is divrei nevius, because there's no logical reason to make that distinction. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll see there are actually two versions of the Mishnah, and Rav Nachman is going to point out to us that actually both of them are correct. And then we'll continue with these dinim.
Shkoyach, good night.
Shkoyach, everyone. Good night.
Good night.